Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Thanks for tuning into the Finovate podcast. Joining me today, we have Prescott Nasser, the co-founder and CTO of 280 Cap Markets. We're going to be talking about cloud computing. But before we get there, Prescott, thanks so much for joining me.
Greg, thanks for having me.
So for people who aren't aware, can you give us a little bit of background on 280 Cap Markets just to kind of set the stage for the rest of the conversation?
Yeah, 280 Cap Markets, we built a proprietary cloud-native platform called BondNav, levering latest technologies in the cloud, dealing with structural issues within the fixed income markets, providing investors with access to information, insights, you know, confidence in bond trading execution.
So obviously, you know, cloud computing has been around for a little while, but really in the wake of COVID-19, I think the importance of it has risen dramatically. Obviously, we all need to be able to keep things moving remotely right now. And there are a few different ways that organizations can tackle that challenge. But I know you're really bullish on cloud. Can you tell us a little bit about why you think that cloud-based solutions are the most compelling for companies in this moment?
Well, I think that, you know, first, the thing we saw with when COVID hit and everything got shut down is you saw who was ready for kind of a remote workforce, a remote access, and who wasn't. And you're forcing a lot of folks to either quickly be ready or be left behind. And I think cloud offers a lot of capabilities and a lot of flexibility for companies to quickly kind of add that technology, or if they're already there, have it, you know, and expand their workforce and work in kind of this new environment that we don't know how long it's going to go on for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. The COVID kind of called time on everybody and is sort of an unexpected pencils down moment, ending to the test, if you will. And all of a sudden people were either prepared or they weren't. And obviously, you know, from your standpoint, those who had engaged with cloud technology ahead of time were in a better position. And I think that's pretty defensible position. Now, one thing, I'm sure you've heard this, right? As you bring up cloud-based solutions to a room full of bankers or people in fintech, I think the first objection that you're going to hear is around security, especially as it relates to data and making sure that there aren't, you know, leaks out of the organization or tunnels into the organization. What steps do you think companies need to take to make sure that they stay secure when they engage with cloud-based solutions?
Yeah, that's a good topic. And I think that, you know, the thing that you got to keep in mind is the relatively newness of cloud technology and cloud platforms. AWS was 2005, 6, 7, somewhere in there that it really launched. Banks are working off technology from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're very slow to adopt because of the regulatory, because of the risk management they've got, and that's, you know, rightfully so. And so as cloud started to take off in 05, 06, 07, I think you didn't have the same, you know, it like any startup kind of endeavor, moving very quick, building a lot of features, and the whole picture, the whole package wasn't necessarily envisioned and in view. And so security was one of those things that you've seen a lot of news probably over the years of people left things open online, customer lists or emails or personal information. And, you know, it's not necessarily that the cloud platforms themselves have holes in security. It's more of that wasn't a kind of primary thought or concern in when folks engage with the cloud. By default, how do we make everything super secure? And that's changing. And I think that you're seeing banks start to engage more in the cloud. If you read the news, the larger organizations are starting to engage more as the maturity is taking off and the security models are being understood, because it is a different paradigm.
Yeah, well, certainly I think this is a pattern that you see replicated. When there are new technological advances, there are initially some security concerns around them, no matter what that tech advancement can be. You know, we've seen companies people up on the Finovate stage talking about security vulnerabilities that exist through, you know, APIs or lines of code that can get dropped in there. And as they're found, obviously, that people can come back and correct them. But you're right, the cloud computing hasn't existed for very long. And there's a couple of different angles to it. First off, you know, the organizations need to make it more secure. But also, I think there's an element of user error that comes through when you see these security breaches around the cloud. Typically, there's a mistake made by somewhere in the organization. And that's not to say that, you know, as an excuse, because I think you have to anticipate mistakes. You have to understand that people aren't perfect, that they're not going to use it perfectly. And so, you know, I'm curious about your thoughts, though, around the, you know, that kind of human error element to it, and how companies can try and fight against that and make sure that when they do engage with the cloud, that they're doing it in a way that their staff is properly trained for, and they understand the potential risks involved. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, that a bunch of thoughts. I think, you know, first, I definitely, you see a lot of it as user error. And I definitely don't go and blame users immediately. Part of building good technology and software is making sure that it's easy for users to do the right thing.
Which, by the way, is the answer you would hope you would find from a CTO. I just want to interject that. I appreciate that answer coming from someone in your position.
That's absolutely. Our users are never at fault, and it's always our fault for not building it right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But, you know, that goes back to, I think, you know, focus wasn't necessarily on how do we make sure secure by default, you know, stop users or stop folks from shooting themselves in the foot. But that goes to kind of this bigger concept of the idea that just because you've joined the cloud or moved things to the cloud, you know, it's not enough to stop there, right? It is a new paradigm. You know, it is a new way of thinking about things. It's outside of your internal networks. You don't have your corporate firewalls, you know, wrapping everything up in a security blanket like you used to have. You know, and so if you just move it over in the cloud and say, yep, I'm in the cloud, I think you've really defeated the purpose and the benefits. And so it really requires, you know, new training, new education, and a new way to look at how do you think of security as a whole, and how do you build your systems? You know, it's how do you build them to scale differently, to fail over between regions? And so, you know, I think it's a combination of education and, you know, tools will get better as well to help.
Yeah, the combination of a good tool that works and a human expert who can become an advocate and a leader inside the organization to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. This is actually, again, another tried and true pattern, right? We've seen a lot of companies, banks in particular, adopt technology and then struggle to get the most out of it because they don't have somebody in their organization kind of banging the drum and bringing everybody else up to speed, making them aware what the new technology allows them to do, how to use it intelligently. And we're seeing an increasing number of solutions that are aimed not so much on the tech advancement side, but on that kind of human comfort side, making sure that people are aware of what's happening and are able to use it well. So obviously that's, I think, a big potential pitfall, like, you know, kind of doing it on its own, just saying, okay, we've moved to the cloud and that's it. We're ready now. But I'm curious, are there other, you know, major pitfalls or kind of obvious pitfalls that people should be aware of as they are looking to engage with the cloud in an intelligent way?
Obvious pitfalls. I mean, I think that we've hit on a couple, which is, you know, it's a different paradigm. It's a different way of thinking about building your applications, building your systems, building your security model. It's different threat models. It's different access models. And you know, I'd say one of the pitfalls I've seen, which you wouldn't think, is a lot of times people want to get into the cloud and don't necessarily haven't thought of how do they need to change and what do they need to invest in their systems to change that model of thinking. They think they'll just, you know, kind of copy and paste, so to speak, and be in the cloud. And that's the biggest pitfall I've seen is just not spending the time and using the opportunity to rethink your strategies around security, around access, around your application architecture.
Sure. No, I think that's a big one. And so another question that kind of comes to mind, because there's obviously a lot of different types of companies in the financial services space, you know, different sizes of financial institution, different sizes of fintechs, and, you know, various stages in their kind of funding life cycles and things like that. Are there companies that you see as being kind of better suited for engaging with the cloud right now than others? Are there certain, you know, key metrics that you look at and say, if you exhibit these qualities, then you're a really good candidate to get the most out of this type of relationship, to be able to put those pieces in place, to do it safely, to do it as part of a more comprehensive platform update? Are there specific types of organizations that you think really lend themselves well to being able to do that successfully?
Oh, man. How do I think about that? I mean, I think that, you know, as a startup, it's a no-brainer. You know, it gives you flexibility to kind of quickly determine or quickly change gears, really. You know, as we were starting, we went with one kind of profile for our system, and we learned that wasn't correct. And so we quickly pivot, and we can change the profile of our hardware and our architecture with some clicks of a button rather than having to buy new hardware or provision or manage that. And so I think it's a no-brainer for any startup to start on the cloud. That makes a lot of sense. For larger organizations, you know, again, I think it does make a lot of sense for them to think about how to move into the cloud or how they can utilize it, and how they can kind of offload the expertise of running data centers, running hardware, to kind of the companies that are best at it, and let them focus on their business aspect, running the business, be it the banking or financing or whatever they're in. You know, I think larger organizations can also benefit from it as well.
Yeah, I think really the piece that kind of keeps coming back for me is this flexibility concept, right? The ability to give yourself more options in the way that you want to move forward. And that is, I think, the thing where, you know, people who would have engaged in, with the cloud early on, you know, prior to March of this year, weren't obviously expecting that something like COVID was going to happen and that their workforce would be sort of overnight shifted into a work from home model. But the fact that they had done that, it gave them that flexibility to move forward. And I think that's really the piece that I keep coming back to, is that, you know, just giving yourself options. And for a long time, you know, in finance, this is kind of a scary concept, this idea of, you know, uncertainty around what your path forward was going to be. But I think we're at a point now where we all recognize that there is uncertainty. Even if we feel secure in what we're doing, there is actually uncertainty there. And so, you know, giving yourself options to do that, I think, is really important, however you can get that. Of course, I think on the flip side, the dangers you have to watch out for, obviously, you know, if you don't approach it in a very strategic way, then you can run afoul. And I think budgeting constraints are some of the biggest potential pitfalls as well. And I know that sometimes when you engage with the cloud, cost can creep up. And if you're not careful about it, if you don't come into it with a really solid plan of attack, you can all of a sudden end up spending a little bit more than maybe you thought. Is that something that you found in your experience as well? Or is that something that, you know, is not necessarily something you're seeing up on a 280 cap market?
Cost for sure. You know, I think that creeps up pretty quick, but I, you know, it's something to pay attention to, and it's something to manage. But I don't think it's the end all be all. And I think that's part of the trade-off. It's going to be cheaper to have your own hardware in your own data center, you know, at a certain scale, at a certain size. But, you know, when you're that scale and that size, you'll have more resources to make that financial trade-off and that decision. When you're smaller, it's very hard to do, and it's hard to do it right running your own hardware stack. And I think it just gives you a lot of flexibility, and it probably costs you a couple more dollars. But I think the flexibility that provides you while you're building a business is far outweighs the cost.
Sure. No, I think so. And again, it's something that you have to be strategic about, right? You have to decide if it's right for your organization and make sure that the benefits, and that, quite frankly, you have the resources to be able to do it well. Because any fan of Breaking Bad, no half measures, no half steps. It's got to be all or nothing. Got to be prepared to do it. But I think, you know, I've been really enjoying reading the article that you put out. I've been enjoying learning about this. And so thank you very much for taking some time to come on this podcast and to talk a little bit about your experience, because it's something that I'm sure a lot of people in fintech, in financial institutions are thinking about right now. And this has been very helpful in kind of laying some groundwork and some basics to consider. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, Greg. I love talking about it. You know, I love connecting with peers and others. And so it's been a real pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.